Good evening, and thank you for being here on the peninsula. My name is Peggy Erkineff. I live in Kosilov, Alaska. Tonight, I'm here speaking in my role as the communication liaison for the school district, and I chose to do that so Mr. Jones could tell you his personal story and not be the one speaking about school district. We are living in unpredictable times in our state, in our country, and in our world right now. The governor's proposed budget is fueling a really important conversation for our state. And we're educating our youth for jobs that don't even exist yet. And I know that because every Wednesday I've been putting out a graduate profile for the last 3 months, and I'm blown away by talking to our graduates coming from this school district. I want to share briefly how the deficit has been affecting our district. We've spent $9.1 million of our savings the last 7 years. We've found and implemented $8.5 million in efficiencies. We've kept cuts away from the classroom. We've cut at district office. We've implemented new technologies to equal $17.6 million in the last 7 years. For perspective, every 10 teachers is approximately $1 million. In FY19, we don't know about that $1.4 million of one-time funding. We're waiting for it. The OASIS count is done. In FY20, when the governor dropped his budget on February 13th, that's a 25.7% cut from the state. $20.9 million in our district triggered also a $1.5 million cut from the borough for $22.4 million for the school year that starts in August. It could be even more if there's more cuts to the borough. We don't know that impact, and the assembly may or may not vote to fund to the maximum allowable. You've heard the cuts that our school board representative and an assembly member have shared. This sheet that I created, I've been accused it's a scare tactic. I can assure you it is not. It's still $5 million shy of $22.4 million if we implemented everything on this sheet. We are living in unpredictable times. We have 100 non-tenured teachers that don't have a contract and they're looking for other jobs, just like Mr. Turner said. I get emails from parents that say, help me understand what to do. I don't have the answers, but as the communications person for the district, I get those emails and calls. We have the highest costs in the nation for healthcare in our state, for workman's comp, and for fuel. All of that contributes to the highest cost for education. An idea for you that would really help the district is our costs have risen because of healthcare. Consider something either through legislative action or incentivize school districts and state employees to pool healthcare and reduce costs. There's studies that have been done. I listened to all the hearings years ago on a bill about that. Our school district does have positive outcomes. I hear constantly our schools are failing. What are we measuring? Are we creating world-class test takers or problem solvers and solution seekers? Our schools are continually improving. We are in the third year of personalized learning. We are educating the whole child. The ACEs, which is an adverse childhood experience, are increasing. This isn't proven yet, but our digital native students are learning in different ways. Our world is changing. We don't have the answers from the school district side, but I can tell you that the outcomes of these cuts will devastate our communities on the peninsula. We have 43 schools. We have schools of all different sizes, over 25,000 square miles. This district represents our entire state. I also can tell you that funding education will keep our effective class sizes. It will help create a positive future for Alaska, and it will give us hope for people to stay here and not leave. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy.
My name is Videl Baker. I am a junior at Sohi. You keep talking about how our education is important to us, but you don't give us the needs that we're receiving. You're taking away our benefits. You're taking away the only means that we have for colleges, for scholarships. You're taking that away from us by taking our sports, our arts programs, our clubs. Some of us, we don't have the money for that. So we rely on our sports. My dad relies on the pool for his physical therapy. He can't get that if you shut that down. He can't get the health that he needs. What is this for? A yearly allowance? You're looking at our future educators and you're saying, well, you get your money still, but what are you giving us in return? You're not giving us our education. You're not giving us what we deserve. You're taking that away from us. And you're going, you are taking our teachers who are our stability. You are taking our free lunches, who some students, they don't get our lunches. They don't get money from home so they can eat. They need this. My little cousin is growing up right now. She's 1 year old. How is she supposed to go on and lead this world if you're taking everything from her and expecting to learn on her own and go to college and create a stable environment for herself? My family doesn't receive money. How do you expect me to earn my scholarships and my colleges that I need to go to achieve a higher degree in life? What are you going to do with the future Alaskans? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Baker.
Hello, my name is Brian Crocklis, 38550 Corey Street, Sterling. I teach over at Sterling Elementary. I'm not a longtime Alaskan. I moved up here about 2 years ago. Best decision I ever made after, of course, marrying my wife. But we both love it up here. We are so impressed with the state. The people are awesome. I did want to bring my experience having lived in Katy, Texas, a suburb of Houston, Texas. So many parents that have come through our school system, they say the reason they moved to us, to that district, was because of the school system. It's one of the fastest growing districts in the nation. So that education is bringing people in. And the concept of when you're looking at bringing an engineer, someone who's going to bring their children to Alaska, they're going to be asking the questions, okay, what is the school system like? Am I going to be putting my child into a school where there are activities, or is it going to be bare bones, 40 kids to a classroom, that kind of thing? So we all know that effect. And when that happens, when people aren't coming up here, we know it's going to happen to, as they lose the jobs with these cuts, housing prices, just the spiral. Seems like basic economics, just downhill from there. I do support an income tax. My PFD, hey, I'm eligible for one this year, finally. So I'm excited at the thought of it. But that would be the more regressive way to take the money. I'd say go for the income tax. I've heard a number of ideas also with the wage taxes and so on, with the oil company credits and so on. I'm sure you can look at that and perhaps maybe take a little here, maybe a little there. Maybe that will be enough to put it all together. But I do thank you for this opportunity. It's a great state. Love it.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to Claudia Calderon. Claudia, Peggy Mullen. Robert, no last name. Meldonna Cody. Paul Marks. And And Cassidy Cameron finally got to her, but she's already testified, so. Found her name.
My name is Claudia Calderon. I am a student who attends Soldotna High School here. I have three siblings that are all younger than me. One is currently in high school, one is in middle school, and one is going into middle school next year. I am afraid for not only myself going into college this next year, being a senior, but I am also afraid for my siblings' future education. Not only will these cuts cut education, including our electives, our pool, our sports, our extracurricular activities, you won't only be cutting that, you will also be cutting individuality and motivations of the students of Alaska. This budget cut has been talked amongst the students of Soldotna High School, and none of us, not one student that I have talked to, is in support of this cut. And I know we are all just kids and we don't get a vote, but more than half of my friends who are in lower classes say they are planning on dropping out or going into homeschooling if this goes through, because there is no point for them to stay in school if they do not have their extracurricular activities to motivate them to stay in the system. I'm afraid for our future generations of children who come through the school system, and you're cutting that away from us. I personally, this next year, I will be applying for my PFD if I'm able to, and my parents will be getting my PFD this year. And honestly, if it's the $3,000, I'm going to feel terrible and sick that that was cut from school fundings for possible opportunities for my siblings and my friends. Scholarship opportunities, education opportunities. I'm afraid. That's it.
Thank you. You what? You what? Okay, what about you? Yes. Yes, he is.
My name is Meldonna Cody. I live in Clam Gulch. Right now, it's probably not a popular thing to say, but I absolutely support Governor Dunleavy's proposals. A lot of us would like to see some cuts. I'd like you to know that I worked for the Kodiak Island Borough School District. Really enjoyed working there. I saw some remarkable teachers, some good results. I also worked for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, and all of these from about 1996 all the way up through to about 2 years ago, working for this school district. And I also had the opportunity to do some very short stints up in Dillingham, Bethel, and New Witsek. The things that I noticed in the school district over the years, and not to commend some of the teachers that are here, there are some excellent teachers out there. They have a tough job. They're burdened in regulations, and over the years, the schools in Alaska have gone downhill. These people are buried in regulations, trying to accomplish too much. And parenting has been shifted from families to the schools at a cost to the teachers in the classrooms. There needs to be maybe some legislative looks at ways of being more supportive of the families outside of the schools and taking that burden off of the schools. We do need to have cuts. There are waste in the schools. There's heavy top-loaded salaries on the upper levels, and I've just finished reading a very interesting book called Clever Lands. I recommend it. I got it from the library. And other countries are doing a much better job than we are here. So I support the total PFD and maybe looking at some taxes.
Thank you, Ms. Cody.
My name's Peggy Mullen. I live in Soldotna. There's been a recent trend among politicians to want to sow chaos. Politicians who run for office not liking government. I like government. I think we need it. There was not any in-depth discussion during the campaign which elected our current governor, but his recent budget has certainly blown up government. Now we must rely on responsible legislators like yourselves to pick up the pieces and take the heat. I want to thank you for your the permanent fund earnings 5% that you enacted last year, and thank you for organizing the House responsibly this year. The PFD is a huge issue. There are a lot of people living on the edge, obviously. There are people in villages who need that money. There are families on Medicaid who need that money. So I think one possible way to deal with that would be to, if we're going to give everybody a PFD, that we talk about a progressive income tax, tax it back from people who can afford it. You do not tax a couple who are living on Social Security. You don't tax people with children in Denali Kid Care. You tax those of us who can afford it. I really liked reading recently the idea of a baseline $1,000 permanent fund and then let it rise as state general fund revenues rise. So if the pipeline fills up, everybody gets on the plane to Hawaii. If it doesn't, we're dealing with what we've got. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Robert, Robert from Anchor Point.
Hi, I'm Robert Roth. I live in Anchor Point. I'm for almost all of Dunleavy's budget except for the K-12 education. I think that can be spread out through a few years instead of all in 1 year. I don't think teachers should be paid more than soldiers that go to war and die for us. I don't think our education people should teach our children to be socialists. I think that's wrong. The ferry system, I think, competes with the private sector in a lot of areas, and I think the private sector would take care of most of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Mr. Marks.
When you're ready. Hi, I'm Paul Marks. I'm a teacher at SoHi. I'm a relatively new resident to Alaska. This is my second time living up here. I was attracted to Alaska for a variety of reasons, but I came up here for the University of Alaska Fairbanks program back in 92, and I received my degree from there. I was attracted to the fact that it was one of the best engineering universities in the nation. And so, of course, I ended up getting a degree in history and English. I returned back to my home state in Michigan and watched as what people often referred to as tough choices or difficult decisions were made on the backbones of our children there, on my children, the five of them who I've been raising. And I also watched as it affected my students. By the time I decided to leave Michigan, my smallest class was 35 students. My AP World History class was at 40. K kids can still learn in those environments, but it is like it's strangling. There's no getting around that. So I called or I started looking for jobs up here, and I was just putting my name out, so I was surprised that, you know, they were willing to hire me in so quickly. I raced up here, but only after asking the question, what is the state of education in Alaska? Oh, it's doing pretty well. We've been flat funded for a little while, but, you know, it's looking pretty healthy. Thank you. So a few things just to make sure that I'm ticking off all the boxes. 2013, that wonderful graph does show the increase in pulling from Alaska savings, and I believe that was the same year as Senate Bill 21. Okay, so I do think that needs to be revisited. I'm concerned about the income tax, the fact, as many people have said, that people should probably be paying their fair income tax. I'm specifically concerned that we do have a large number of people who are out of state who are working here. Not just, I don't want to just take their money. That's not what I'm saying. They go back to their states, and then that state gives them an income tax off of the income that they earn here. And that doesn't make sense, that other states are getting revenue off of work that's being done in our state simply because we do not have a state income tax in place. So I believe that's another area to look at as well. And I do appreciate the efforts to try to keep a permanent fund dividend, as has been pointed out, that is would be a regressive tax to pull it back if it is cut from where it had been before. But to suddenly try to pull out of the fund an extra amount in order to hand back to people from previous years would be something else. So I think that the timer wasn't set for me, so I'll just stop.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Okay, Dr. Casey Rudkin. And then we got, can't read this last name, but looks like another Rudkin.
It is.
Yep.
Okay. It is.
Okay, Caitlin Bodla, be up. And then Jesse Bjorkman. Whenever you're ready, just put your name on the record.
All righty, thank you. Thank you for being here. I'm Dr. Casey J. Rudkin. I'm an assistant professor at Kenai Peninsula College. I live in Soldotna, but I am here representing myself and my personal views, not my institution. I am here to speak out against Governor Dunleavy's budget. I think it is disingenuous. I think it is immoral. I think it is mean-spirited. It is heartless. And it is not based in reality. I am very upset that he brought in Donna Ardoin from out of state. She has wrecked many other Republican governors' budgets, most of whom didn't end up implementing it because they were so poor and poorly thought out, except Kansas did, and it really hurt them. She has come in and admits that she has done no research into the repercussions, and so I feel this is not a very well thought out budget. He says that legislator needs to step up. He didn't seem to feel that way the 5 years he served in legislature, but now he wants to put it on your back. And I have some real problems with all of that. I'll keep it short. Devastating cuts to the University of Alaska system will hurt students now and hurt the state itself in the long term. Students who can't get an education near their homes may move away for college and not come back, causing brain drain. Additionally, even the budget threats and uncertainty are presently costing us teachers and students. As I teach, I have students that are looking at going outside, transferring next semester because they don't know what's going to happen here and they're worried. I'm telling you that you're losing teachers now because the academic job market functions in such a way that the 2020 jobs are open right now, and so people have to make the decision now, not in July or May. They have to decide now whether or not they're going to leave. Last thing I'll say, balancing the budget will require rolling back oil tax credits and likely instituting an income tax to capture income revenue that is leaving the state. I think we need to think of Alaskans first. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Obeda Redkin. I live here in Soldotna, and I work in Homer. I work at the college down there, and I came to Alaska for the university system here. I am in the marine biology program through the university, and with this, being in Alaska, I have had experiences that I have not had or would not have had anywhere else in the United States. I have been able to work with marine animals that are endangered. I have been able to work with marine animals that most people will never touch. I have put together a stellar sea lion skeleton through the Alaska Sea Life Center. That is not something I could get out of the state. And I would just like to say, like I said, I came here for the university system. I could easily leave and go to another school, but it will not be the same as the school here in Alaska. Another thing I would like to state is I am in my early 20s. I am the generation, and the generation below me is the generation that will keep the state going for years to come. Please don't let us leave because of our education system. If the education system is bad, if the university system is bad, people will leave and take their education with them. People will take their monies with them. And so please keep that in mind when you're talking about this current budget. I do not support Dunleavy's budget. And I believe that education is one of the most important things for any growing economy. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Caitlin Vodla. I live in Clam Gulch. I work in Soldotna. Thanks so much for coming here. Thanks for collaborating. Thanks for being open to compromise. Thanks for being open to dialogue and for hosting this. I think having tough conversations is something that I personally love. I like to disagree with people, and I think that when we all sit in this room together, hopefully we all disagree, but at the end of the day, that means we're going to have a better solutions. So, I mean, I think we're all Alaskans. We're an odd, dysfunctional family, but at the end of the day, we're all Alaskans. And so I'm really happy that you're collaborating. I'm a product of the school district, and they definitely didn't fail me. Got a lot of great teachers. I was a weird, very, very nerdy, socially awkward kid, but, you know, the extracurriculars, future problem solving, battle of the books, great teachers, art, and those really saved me and gave me the skills that I needed to succeed at life and also to come back to my community and give back. I've got a great job here now, and I'm committed to doing what I need to do to contribute to our state. And just list my top picks would be, you know, not to cut the PFD, but to first look at statewide income sales tax, to at least drop that per barrel credit, and to be willing to not get everything we want, but to know that the decisions we make this year are going to impact our state and our future for decades. And so what you're doing right now is really important. And I'm really grateful that there's a bunch of leaders like you down there trying to work together to do and make difficult decisions. And I just wanted to say that the school district here, man, they've done such a good job cutting their budget over the last 5 years. They really can't afford to make any more. So please fully fund our school district. Thank you.
Thank you, Caitlin. Mr. Bjorkman, and then Kate Finn up after Mr. Bjorkman.
Hello, my name is Jesse Bjorkman from Nikiski. I encourage all legislators, everyone in attendance, and the thousands watching around the state to support full and forward funding for K-12 education. Ben Franklin wisely said, "This will be the best security for maintaining our liberties. A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the religion of ignorance that tyranny begins." Jesse Bjorkman would put that this way. Education about history and the natural law informs ignorance, defends liberty, and destroys tyrants. We must fund and prioritize education in Alaska. Good government must be of the people, by the people, and then finally for the people. Too often, I believe Alaskans want to skip directly to that last item on this list and demand what government can do for them. When Alaskans put personal private benefit before personal responsibility and service to others, then government becomes an external entity that we Alaskans find no part in. Government becomes an unbearable ogre because we have delegated our responsibility in the Alaskan Commons and our local government to someone else who we do not know and do not trust. Wally Hickel said this, "We used to say, let's go. Now we say, give me. We used to say, north to the future. And now we ask, do we have a future?" The Alaskan Constitution states in Article 1, Section 1 that all persons have a corresponding obligation to the people and to the state. Your duty to participate in Alaskan government is constitutionally mandated. You can choose a ready governmental guide and some celestial voice to think your job is through when you leave that polling booth. But if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Those who wish to be free must accept their own constitutionally mandated governmental responsibility. Free people must put aside governmental alienation and get on with the real relation of how fascination with education will shape the underlying theme. What is the solution to our governmental situation? Personal responsibility. We must all have the courage to ask hard questions and dig deep to find real solutions. Here are some questions I believe Alaskans need to answer. Are Alaskans supporting schools with their volunteer time, positive attitudes towards school, and celebrations of success? Do the words that Alaskans speak about education praise success or only prophesy failure of low expectations? Is Alaska meeting its constitutional mandate in developing its resources for the maximum benefit of all Alaskans or only a small minority? What can Alaskans do to make Alaska the best that it can be? Shall we give up the PFD or tax the other guy behind the tree? In closing, the purpose of education in Alaska and on the Kenai Peninsula is to ensure that all students will succeed in their education and work, give students the opportunity to shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves, and exemplify the best values in society, so that our students could go on to be effective in improving the character and quality of the world around them. I urge you to join in this mission, support full and forward funding for K-12 education in Alaska. Our kids, our students, and our future is worth it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Finn, and then Angela Bond will be up on the queue next. Amy Seitz and Shannon Sharon. I'm sorry, Sharon, can't read your last name. Efter. Yep, that sounds right. Mr. Seaton and Dan Naitra. And we're getting close to the end and we're getting closer to out of time. So just keep that in mind that I have no intentions of cutting anybody off or cutting them short. So we're going to stay as long as you're willing to. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Kate Finn. Those who were catching planes had an eyebrow on that. My name is Kate Finn. I live in Homer, Alaska. I've been in the state about 42 years as a nurse, primarily out in the bush, Dillingham Barrow. And I've lived on the Kenai now for about 25 years. First, I'd like to say that I think when it became so glaringly upfront that we don't have the money to run the state, it's like the question was sort of upside down to me. It's like, where can we cut? Okay, that's really part of it, absolutely. But why not, where do we generate? Where do we generate the funds? I think that should have been the first question, really. And Ms. Erdogan, if she didn't have the foresight to really look at the consequences of the budget she was proposing, the legislators who ran for office and who are in office did know the consequences of the budget and this budget would have. So why wasn't that part of the really loud discussion as people were running for office? The consequences were never discussed. So many people had no idea, so many voters had no idea what the consequences would be if they got a $3,000 PFD. I will be very short. I'm going to cut to the chase here. One is, I support a step-down approach to budget limiting and a huge promotion for generating income, not the least of which, of course, should partially come from the oil companies. And I would like to say that our greatest resource is not under the ground. Our greatest resource is above the ground. It's in the people in the state. It's in the students and the children and the babies in the state right now. They need us. And they need us not just for education, but they need us for their health care. We need health care to be fully, fully funded. To give up Medicaid options right now is to cut. I thought I would be quick. Okay. Please, please change this governor's budget. Step down. Don't jump off the cliff and generate funds on the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll try to make it quick. Thank you for being here and listening to us. I think it's a great opportunity for everyone to get together. My name is Angel Bond. I live in Cooper Landing. I'm here to support our small schools. I understand that we need to look at balancing our budget, but cutting education is not the answer. We need to invest in our children and their education. Education is an investment in the future, and our children are the future. We need to look at other ways to get revenue for the state, and we've talked about it already this evening. An alternative option may be to reallocate the marijuana tax revenue dollars. Some of those dollars could be used for education of our children and reducing the deficit. This is all new revenue for the state. In 2018 alone, the state took in $12.8 million of marijuana tax revenue dollars. This revenue will only continue to grow. The governor and our legislators and Alaskans, we all need to work together to look at other ways to increase revenue and to be open for change. Please don't decimate our state and our small communities. I'm personally in favor of either decreasing or giving up my PFD and in possibly pursuing state income tax or even a seasonal state tax or a seasonal sales tax. Please fully fund our education system. Thank you.
Thank you, Speaker Edgman, Vice Chair Johnston, Representative Knopp, and Representative Carpenter, if he's still online. For the record, my name is Amy Seitz. I live in Soldotna, Alaska. I'm actually a third-generation Alaskan farmer. I still farm on my grandparents' original homestead. I work as the Executive Director for the Alaska Farm Bureau, and I'm also on the Alaska Food Policy Council Board. So I deal a lot with food and agriculture. And that's what I want to focus on today, an option for diversifying our economy. Right now, Alaska imports about 95% of our food, the food we purchase. That's about $2 billion that leaves the state. Our agriculture industry is growing significantly, and we're expecting to see more growth. We can keep more of that $2 billion in the state. Cuts to Division of Ag will affect that. Cuts to education will affect the nutrition that our youth will get. We all know that if our kids don't have healthy food to eat, it'll affect them in the future medically, increase medical costs. So really quick, since I know we're on a time limit, one option that I want to throw out there is to look at the product preference program. If the state and farmers can work together to get more food purchased in schools, in our other institutions, it will build this economy. It will get local fresh food to our youth, to our seniors, to all Alaskans, and will help with our budget. Again, I want to thank you all for traveling around and taking public comment.
Thank you, Amy.
Hi, my name is Sharon Efta. I live in Kenai. I am not in favor of cutting education. Education in our state is in enough trouble as it is. My son's a freshman in college right now, and his last 2 years of high school, he was the only Alaska student to make the all-national band. And so we paid our way down to Orlando and to Dallas to find out that almost every state is paying the way of their talented students that work that hard to make the all-national band. Alaska does not. He was first chair for his instrument his senior year, and we paid the way to go down there. Same thing happened when he was in eighth grade. He was a member of the Alaska Championship Future Problem-Solving Team, and we paid our way down to Iowa, only to find out that Every other state was paying their students' ways to go down there. They were so excited to find out what they could do as high school students with future problem solving, and then were disappointed to find out that Alaska does not support gifted education in high school, so they didn't get to do anything after that. I've heard a lot about state income tax, and I cannot afford to pay one. I cannot afford to lose my permanent fund. Every year I use it to catch up on bills. But it does get my goat to see people from other states coming here and getting all this money. And I propose imposing a state income tax with a $100,000 exemption for Alaska residents, much like we do for property tax. Included in the wording would have to be that the exemption can never be taken away or lowered. It can be raised for cost of living adjustments. This provision would keep the state government from changing the rules without our consent, the way the borough assembly recently took the senior property exemption away. At $100,000 in exemption, the tax would not affect the majority of Alaskans, and the ones it does affect can afford to pay it. Imposing a tax like that would not affect the willingness of skilled workers to come to Alaska unless they live in a state that doesn't have an income tax, because they're getting taxed anyway, and the money that should be going to Alaska is going to those other states. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Seaton.
Thank you. My name is Paul Seaton, Bruce Avenue, Homer, Alaska. I appreciate and agree with the House subcommittees of education and the university on the actions they've been taking in maintaining funding. I also hope that forward funding will be honored for the K-12 budget. I'm worried about the $300 million higher education fund being rolled into the general fund, as that would all be spent this year, and then that would increase every year in the future the general fund spending to provide for those Alaska performance scholarships. And those performance scholarships are the single most single thing that the legislature has done to be most impactful to education in the state. This proposal from the governor for the drastic cuts is not surprising to me, because the governor is only looking at one side of the equation and has refused to diversify our income. The House passed a comprehensive fiscal plan 2 years ago that would have avoided this deficit entirely, but the state Senate was not ready for that. You know, oil taxes need to be changed. Oil prices at $60 to $70 a barrel is historically not a low price, but our system does not work for Alaska at these price ranges. Any new tax that would come, whether it be a income tax or a sales tax, is going to take a year and a half to implement. The only way to get budget money for this budget is by allocation of the amount to the PFD, or by looking at oil tax credits, and that's the per barrel credits. Those could be instituted up to $1.2 billion more by just eliminating that, and that could happen as of July 1st. So that's an instantaneous thing. It doesn't have to wait for this long involved process and all. So there are some options there that you have, and I would definitely prefer working on reducing oil tax credits over reducing the permanent fund dividend further while balancing the budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Seaton.
Hi, my name is Dan Nitre. I'm a small business owner here in the community of Soldotna. Been here many years and want to continue to be here. Want to change the narrative just a little bit. There's been plenty of talk about the items that were up there, but when we're talking about billions of dollars, sometimes I wonder about the efficiency, particularly being from a small business owner standpoint. Senate Bill 138 during the 2016 fourth special session allotted or appropriated $10 million to the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We, in October of 2018, voted that down by a majority. And what I read in the newspaper is that there's ways that can be that grant money can be extended for a 7-year period of time. In a state that doesn't have money to pay its bills, how can we go parking $10 million? And I also question how much of that is how many other communities are doing the same thing. So just wondered about our current efficiencies when you're, again, when you're talking about billions, millions don't seem that much, but they can certainly add up if somebody in an oversight committee is looking at some of these loopholes that may exist that allow communities to just maintain that money for when the demographic may change and then next time swing the vote in the other direction. We voted, we said no, and in a time when we don't have the money, why are we able to save money for 7 years from now? So I don't know what you can do to look into that, but that would be, I'm sure there's other inefficiencies that are out there. So not that I'm for or against or anything else that we're talking about tonight, but just running a little more efficient government with what you already have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.